And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
In for Jalen Rose today, my mother's favorite co-host, Chinay Agbumike. Chinay, thank you so much for taking the time to do the show today. In for Jalen, I really appreciate it.
Did she hear her shout out? Because clearly I did a bad job at disguising my voice when I called in on Woman Crush Wednesday.
Yeah. You did not do a great job disguising your voice, but we appreciate you appearing on the show, whether it's via voicemail or in person like you are today. Today it is the Nay and Jay show because we have Chinay Agbumike in the building. Thank you so much for doing the show today, Chinay.
I'm so excited that you actually led with the name of the show, Nay and Jay.
You made it up last time, and I will never forget it, because you know how annoying Jalen is. I've been thinking about the Nay and Jay show ever since you came on the show last time.
I love to hear that. You love to see it.
What else I love to see is James Harden doing James Harden things. He had 55 points in a win over the Cavs. The Rockets actually gave up a huge run to the Cavs to make this a close game, but then Harden closed out the game, the fourth quarter, with 20 points in that frame alone. Chinay, my question for you is this. Do they rely on James Harden alone too much as a franchise?
There's no such thing as too much for the Rockets because they've put all their chips in the middle of the table. James Harden is that team. I know we brought in, and I say we because I'm from Houston, Texas, we brought in Russell Westbrook, who has been a nice, you know, second option, but it's James Harden's world and we just all live in it. Houston officially has liftoff. Now, a lot of people are critical about his shot taking ability, meaning he takes too many shots. Mm-hmm. Well, he was pretty efficient. I mean, the guy went 20 for 34, 10 for 18 from three. When he's shooting the ball that well, he deserves all the shots. I just think that James Harden, his game is extremely normalized. Like, he can easily get to 40. And the reason why James Harden can get to 40 is because he's the first player, in my opinion, in the history of the sport that really leaned all the way into analytics. Like, pretty much, all right, we're going to get threes and dunks. Well, he took that literally. I'm not going to dunk it, but I'm going to get fouls. I'm going to lead the league in fouls. I'm going to go into the offseason strategizing and trying to find ways to manipulate getting my points from there, and then I'm going to knock down threes, and I'm going to be creative with my step back. There's a sidestep step back. There's the travel step back. Who cares? You name it. James Harden shooting it, and I think it's the best version of offense when he's making shots like that.
Well, I always say it's not what you do, it's how you do it. Let's take a look at the numbers of how James Harden got to these 55, because it's interesting. Usually he gets so many free throws, but look, he only got fouled seven times, only five free throws, and he had 20 field goals, 10 of which were three-pointers. He's one of the only people in the history of the league to get 10 three-pointers and 10 field goals in the same game. What does the sort of low number of free throws tell you?
The most free throws by me? Shoot, man, I probably shot about 12 max in a game, and he probably averages over that. So, yeah, but I focus on and-ones, finishing. You know what
yes,
I'm saying?
Absolutely. So, here's a question for you. There's been so many gimmicky defenses on James Harden. Force him right, force him left, play behind him, play to the side of him. And then we recently saw him just straight up get doubled on the touch. That was pretty effective. Don't you think they should just double him the second he gets over half court to get the ball out of his hands?
I think that's effective, considering if there's one weakness for the Rockets, it's pretty much their lack of consistency from shooting the ball from perimeter, right? So if you're going to mm-hmm. make a gamble, a lot of teams make this gamble. And, of course, the Cavs. I talk about James Harden's greatness being normalized. Well, everybody's sort of great against the Cavs, so that game sort of has an asterisk. But if you think about James Harden, teams have two ways to try to beat him. Let him try to shoulder the entire load and probably go for 60 and then hold everyone else down. Or he has to empower others, spread the love, and see if those guys can beat you, right? So those are the two gambles that people are deciding whether to take the double James and empower the rest, or just let him go in single coverage, score 60, and you hold down the rest. I think it depends on James Harden. If he's shooting the ball well, you're probably going to lose because he's going to keep shooting the ball well. If he's not, then you have to sort of make that gamble on his supporting cast, and then we'll see if they can knock down shots.
So you root for the Rockets because you're from Houston. I root for them because they're so much fun to watch on League Pass. But that's offensively. They're 15th in defensive efficiency. I think it's going to be really hard to win playoff series, to win a championship without stepping up the defense. And they gave up a huge run to the Cavs. I think it was like over 20 points. Are you concerned about their defense?
I'm not really concerned about their defense because at this point, your best version, if you're thinking about defense, you're thinking about that team from 2-3 years ago with Trevor Ariza and Luke Mabute. Man, yep. I even think of the days when we had Montrezl Harrell, when we had Patrick Beverley, you know what I mean? At this point, we got to lean into the offense. We got to hope Russell Westbrook can knock down perimeter shots and is that engine, which he was. He had a good game as well. Mm-hmm. Forget all of that, Jacoby. Forget all of that. The Rockets won double time, even though it was against the Cavs, because they extended an invite to Lizzo, trying to help her with her PR after the debacle. Say, hey, we'll have you anytime. She's from Houston, so shout out to the Rockets for looking out. They did. They said, Lizzo, I know you're getting shamed.
Wait. Isn't Minnesota claiming Lizzo? I know she spent time there and plays the flute and whatever, but like, I thought she was claiming Minnesota, not Houston.
She was claiming Cap. She was claiming Carl Anthony Towns, not necessarily Minnesota. She's from Houston, and the Rockets are claiming her and have her back. You know, I'm not going to throw my take in there. I think she was doing a little too much, but that's Lizzo brand, and that's H-Town brand. We do too much all the time, like James Harden. Her.
Well, Kawhi and the Clippers went in Toronto and got the win. It was Kawhi's first game back in Toronto since they won the championship. He got a standing ovation. He got his ring from Kyle Lowry, and he also got 23 points and the win. So, normally I would say this would be an emotional experience, you know, going back to your old team and getting a standing ovation and getting your championship ring. Do you think Kawhi actually felt emotion during this whole experience?
So I was watching that whole thing happen, you know, when he was going through all his former coaches and former teammates. And mm-hmm. right before he got to Kyle Lowry, he sort of wiped his eyes. Like there could have been a tear. There could have been a tear.
No.
He was way too chill.
No.
He was way too chill.
Kawhi's never cried his whole entire life.
Probably not. no, but I think it is emotional. And it was actually cool because you know you can just stay level focused and all that stuff when the crowd loves you. Like everyone was like, are they going to boo Kawhi Leonard? Of course they're not. No. First of all, they're Canadians. They're nicer than us. They're nicer than the world. And then two, honestly, he brought you your championship. Your one and probably, I mean, only championship for the next few, you know, years or decade or however long it might be. So there's no reason to be mad at him. And I don't think he should have cried. But if he didn't cry when he won it, he's not going to cry to get his ring.
No. Yeah, I cry really easily. Kawhi Leonard, I do not think cries easily. But Kawhi Leonard spoke about that ring he received. And there's some interesting details I want to discuss with you. Let's listen to the claw.
I have a logo in there, and it's on my middle finger, so it reminds me of putting on my middle finger. So I have a like a FU symbol on there.
Okay, so if you have to think of it, it's like, wait a second. So there's a logo on the ring that is a middle finger that's to remind him to put it on his middle finger, and then he also calls it an FU symbol. Do you think this is a reminder to put it on his middle finger, or do you think he put an FU symbol there on purpose?
He definitely put that on purpose. Like I've won a couple rings, high school 2 state championship rings, Final Four rings, and you know, in my college run, my sister won a championship ring with the Sparks. You think about what you're putting in your ring. Like, you think. Mm. And the fact that he put a middle finger is so Kawhi. So Kawhi. Because people forget. Everyone's like, oh, we love him. We want to see him play. You know, why is this load management thing keeping me from seeing Kawhi Leonard, like, arguably the top 2 player in the NBA? Everyone is up in arms. People forgot that when he left San Antonio, we were treating him like a villain for doing it on his own terms. And within a span of a year, he turned that Raptors team that was having, you know, PTSD from what LeBron James did to them. You know, he turned that Raptors team into champions. He went from villain to hero. So yes, athletes lean into that mindset of, I need to find motivation. And he found the right motivation. Of course, I'm going to put a middle finger in the middle. If that got me, you know, in the middle of my ring, if that got me a championship, and I'm going to lean into that all the way through my tenure with the Clippers as well.
Here's the thing is, he didn't have to tell us that that was there. He really didn't have to tell us that was there. And he did it through the media. And I believe that that middle finger was in some part at us, the media. Now, let's just take a look at some of the numbers. Let's take a look at some of the numbers that he had last night, kind of how he got to his points. Because, look, it wasn't a crazy offensive performance. It wasn't James Harden. But look at the defense. As the primary defender, they scored 0 points on him, and they're 0-for-4 from the field. Is his defense actually underrated?
How is his defense underrated when he's a two-time defensive player of the year? Now, the thing is he's not playing 24, 25, 26 games in a row strung together, sort of like Giannis, right, where we can assess how great he is as a defender. He's coming in and he's coming out, so sometimes it takes the rhythm out of you. But at his core, at his essence, is defense. We all forget that Kawhi came into the league as a mid-range sort of scorer and a defender. And then he morphed into this MVP candidate. Obviously, he was finals MVP. So his defense is not underrated. He is an excellent defender. He has those mitts for a reason. But I do think that his offensive prowess has made us forget about his true nature. And that's just being able to lock people up on D.
Now, Chinee, I know that you watch the television show Jalen and Jacoby and listen to the podcast Jalen and Jacoby every day. So you know that Devontae Graham is my guy. Devontae Graham is my guy. And he's starting to blow up a little bit. He blew up last night for 40 points in a Hornets win over the Nets. Now, most people literally, might even be NBA fans, do not know exactly who this guy is. But he has put the league on notice. He is my early pick for most improved player. Do you think Devontae Graham will be a household name, let's say, in the next month or so?
In the next month, I think now. Like,
really?
Now after his last game, people should know who he is. And I'm really disappointing you because you're like, Devontae Graham is my guy.
Yes.
You're supposed to say, Devontae Graham is my man. Devontae Graham is my man. You got to stay on rhythm. You know I'm going to always check you for that. But I've got some notes from SportsCenter.
You got some notes from SportsCenter. I know you don't have notes for this show.
I want to tell you something about Devontae Graham for those who don't know. He's right now number 2 in made threes in the NBA. Obviously behind James Harden, right? Harden has made 117 threes so far this season. Devontae Graham has made 103. Now James has shot 335 threes to get those 117. Devontae has only shot 240. He is a sniper. He is
a shooter.
He is a killer.
He's got a game winner against the Knicks. Like, he's playing so well. Like, he's like legitimately might be an all-star. I really think he might be an all-star. Take a look at what he did in the month of December. Just the month of December alone. I know that we're not that far into it, but look at 26 points a game, 5 threes a game, 8 assists a game. Like, he tied with LeBron James at 6th. In points per game. That's what Devontae Graham has been doing. While the Hornets, I don't think, are going to exactly make a run at a championship, they've found something in this young man, Devontae Graham.
Look, let me tell you something. If your name is in the same category as a James Harden in making threes and a LeBron James in points per game, we should be talking about you. So he absolutely deserves a shine. Now, the only thing here, though, is that I feel like Devontae Graham, it's sort of like when you're in Charlotte and you're in that vortex, it's hard to be seen, but he's really, with his play, stood out. So I'm very, very pleased of my man, Devontae Graham.
My guy, Devontae Graham. I just want you to know that. Guy, Devontae Graham.
Oh, by the way, the Hornets, though, I think the only way that he could really be an all-star is if they're sort of in that top 8 position, and they have the same amount of wins as the Magic in the A slot. So if they can stay around there, maybe your guy will be an all-star. Maybe.
Maybe. He's about to be everybody's guy soon. He's playing that well. It is now time for News That Matters. Chinee, you know I'm not loyal to my sports teams, and I'm a front-running fan, just like this guy, Drake. Now, Drake is wearing a Sierra Canyon hoodie. Now, that is significant because, if you don't know, Sierra Canyon is the team where both LeBron James and Dwayne Wade's kids play basketball, but it is also where Kylie Jenner went to high school, and there are some rumors about Drake and Kylie Jenner. Do you think this is more about the sort of second generation of NBA superstars or perhaps Kylie Jenner?
All right, this is winter time. It's cuffing season. I always tell people this. You want to shoot your shot, but you don't want to be loud with it. So if he is shooting his shot, this is a very subtle way of saying, like, oh, this is for Bronny. this is for Zaire. But really, hey, do you think it's for you, Kylie? Like, that was very subtle. But this is my issue. Drake for everybody. Like, Drake for everybody. We're Los Angeles Sparks. Can you wear one of my jerseys or something like that? You for everybody.
Let's get that. Let's get him in a Chinea Agumake jersey. Or just a generic no number Agumake jersey for both you and NECA. We had a lot of NBA action last night. And the Lakers just keep on winning. They beat the Magic last night. Not only that, LeBron James, as he seems to do every other night, notched a triple-double. Chinea, I thought this team would be good, but I thought it would take them much longer to gel. They are 23-3. They have only lost 3 games so far in the season. Are you as surprised as I am about their hot start?
I am surprised because it takes a while to build chemistry, but I feel like we have to reset our whole measuring stick because it hasn't taken the Clippers a while. And now, you know, a lot of people ask me who's better, you know, similar record, same record, Bucks or Lakers. The Bucks, they're a true team, right? The Lakers, they're extremely top heavy between LeBron and AD. Either team, in my case, if they play full healthy, the Bucks, I know Giannis was out not too long ago, they might win. Lakers, if LeBron and AD play to their potential, they might win. So it's really interesting to see how talent distribution on rosters matter. But I don't even care. No offense. Like, we all know LeBron can get a triple-double. We know AD, he had a rough shooting night, 6-for-20, you know, still had 16 points. We're not going to talk about how this was Frank Vogel's return to Orlando. You know what I'm saying? Since the first time he was fired. It was a revenge game.
Little revenge game. I have a very quick question for you. I've been told this a lot. Do you think I look like Frank Vogel?
Y'all must be distant relatives. I think
maybe,
you do.
Maybe.
I can see a little bit.
I think that's more of a compliment to me than it is to Frank Vogel, so I'll take it.
Did you see the scuffle, though? Did you see Jared Dudley trying to be about
let's
that?
Let's look at the scuffle right now. I mean, this was a very NBA scuffle. I don't know if scuffle's the right word, but Dwight Howard gets it down low, misses the shot, you know, fight for a rebound. Things get a little hectic down. This right here, the little push my arm away and push someone else's arm away. What do you think about this hold me back moment between the Lakers and the Magic?
So two things. Jared Dudley knows his role, right?
Yes.
Like,
he's
going to hit a three occasionally, maybe one or two a
maybe
game.
Maybe once
right?
every 3 games, sure.
But his job is to have his teammates back.
Yes.
Literally, right?
Yes.
But at the same time, I was sort of laughing because I was like, if I'm in the NBA and there's one guy that I would want to try and think I could beat, I'm going to go at Jared Dudley. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, that's the type of dude I would try it with.
It's always fun to make fun of Jared Dudley because he makes fun of himself so much. You remember like the Nets playoff series? He was like in the middle of everything. He was the loudest. He's the voice of the whole franchise, but he only played like 4 minutes a game. I love Jared Dudley so much.
Trying to lock up Ben Simmons.
You bring up Dudley and it's like, it's just part of the roster turnover. Like Dudley's new and Green is new and Anthony Davis is new. Like I really thought it would take longer for this team to come together, but it really hasn't. I think that's a testament to LeBron James' leadership and basketball IQ. Moving on to the Celtics against the Pacers. Kemba Walker had 44 points, but it wasn't enough because Malcolm Brogdon, Justin Holiday, did their thing for the Pacers. Brogdon ended up with 29 points and has low-key had 12 20-point games this season for his new team. Chinee, do you consider the Pacers a threat to sort of the top 3 teams in the East?
I don't yet. I really don't yet. Just because the 3 teams are kind of in a league of their own. The Sixers, they're still trying to find themselves and play with the right intensity, but I still like them. The Bucks, obviously, we know what they're capable of.
Yep.
And the Miami Heat, man, they're getting dudes like Duncan Robinson. They're getting dudes like Kendrick Nunn. They're getting dudes like Bam Adebayo. Triple-double, right? So to sort of compete with those guys, especially with Victor Oladipo out, the masked singer, I don't know if you saw that. You know, I am very impressed with this win, even though there are a few caveats, right? I think, what was it, Marcus Smart was out. Gordon Hayward, I think he hurt his nose. So it was sort of like a game in which you sort of think, okay, if the Celtics were healthy and everyone played to, like, you know, their potential, maybe Kemba wouldn't have to go for 44 for them to try to get the win.
But it was nice to see sort of like a Kemba Walker 44-point performance because so far he's sort of like, you know, he's distributing, he's letting other people go. He wasn't asserting himself the same way he did on the Hornets. But I think eventually as the season goes on, Kemba will become a lot more comfortable with his new teammates and surroundings. Well, the Bulls didn't just beat the Hawks. They smacked the Hawks. And remember, the Hawks are coming off that heat. They fell apart in Miami, and now they're in Chicago getting absolutely whacked. My man, Zach LaVine, had 35 points. Do you think we can get an all-star spot for Zach LaVine?
I think just for the excitement of the all-star game, having him in the slam dunk contest was iconic. Maybe you push for this, and they need one, because where's the all-star game? In Chicago.
Good point.
Right?
Good point.
So
really
I'm here
point.
For this. I would like to point out, though, that the Hawks were on a back-to-back, so that was tough. And
yes.
Trae Young, when he doesn't go for 20, I pretty much count them out. Let's be real
oh,
here.
Yeah.
But your boy... Your boy
my
also
guy.
Showed out. Your guy.
Who, listen, I love Devontae Graham, but I really love this man right here. Some people call him Coby White, but his real name is Alec Jacoby White. Can you do me a favor? I'm trying to make Jacoby White happen. When you're on SportsCenter, when you're on the ESPN 1, when you're being a superstar media celebrity, will you refer to him as Jacoby White instead of Coby White moving forward?
From this day forward, I will always refer to this man. This man who comes in and gives a boost off the bench. The man that is balling with the hair on fleek. I will refer to him as Jacoby White.
You know what? I know that you're lying, but it still feels good. I appreciate it. Even though I know you're lying, it still feels good. Thank you so much for just placating me. I appreciate it. I want to point out quickly that, yes, it was a back-to-back, but it was two really bad losses. You know, they fell apart in the last minute against the Heat. Didn't even, like, barely scored in overtime. And then this game, they were not even close to a team that, you know, isn't exactly a playoff team. And there were reports last week about Trae Young being emotional, being upset in the locker room. Like, how bad is this for Atlanta, who some people thought would kind of, like, take a leap this year?
I think in an 82-game season, and you are, like me, I play in the WNBA, it's 34 or 5 games, right? There's always going to be lulls, right? Because the way they started the year, before Trae sort of had a like little ankle issue or whatever that case was, they were playing well. There was a lot of optimism. If you look, like Cam Reddish is still coming on. I think he had about 16 points in the last game. So like earlier in the season, that didn't happen. So maybe the pieces will connect later on. Teams go through lulls, especially on back-to-backs. And teams sort of, you know, their number one goal is if a team's coming off the back-to-back, what Zach LaVine didn't play in the fourth quarter, right? So that's the number one goal. You want to beat a team that's already down and out. So I'm not too worried about the Heat because entering this, about the Hawks, because entering the season, I was never really worried. I was just excited to see
good
how
point.
Good Trae would be, you know, year two.
It's time for cultural or regional. Adweek does a thing where they name America's favorite snack every year, and for the third year in a row, it's Flaming Hot Cheetos. Chinee Agumike, are Flaming Hot Cheetos cultural or regional?
It is cultural.
Cultural.
Because when it's not just, you know, statewide, region-wide, it's countrywide, pretty much worldwide. Like, let me tell you, I sort of understand certain people when I see them with a bag of Flamin' Hot Cheetos. So I'm like,
okay.
You with it like that?
Yeah,
and the thing
one
is,
of us.
It can be all types of people. Different backgrounds.
Yep, I understand.
Different
I understand.
Shades. Different,
Chinee, let me tell you
mean?
A personal story about Flamin' Hot Cheetos. Just so happens that yesterday, my son comes home with a bag of Flamin' Hot Cheetos. He goes, Dad, I tried Flamin' Hot Cheetos for the first time. They're great. And I didn't even need a glass of water. I was so proud of my son, who is now part of Flamin' Hot Cheetos gang.
My question, though, is why didn't you give it to him before?
Listen, I'm trying to give him healthy snacks. You know what I mean? I'm trying to keep it healthy around the house. That's all.
You know, okay, that's fair.
And it's time for us to give the people what they want. Sometimes for inspiration, you just have to look up. Man, I love living in Los Angeles, and every time we would see the Goodyear blimp overhead, because we lived near Dodger Stadium, wherever they had events, at Staples Center, the Goodyear blimp just brought so much joy to my children. And for more than 60 years, that Goodyear blimp has fueled greatness on the gridiron by providing aerial coverage to some of the most legendary moments in college football history. When the Goodyear blimp rises above a stadium, it inspires players to reach higher and rise to the challenge of the game's biggest moments. Now it's your turn to go further with Goodyear. Discover tires made to rise above the rest. Learn more at Goodyear.com. Goodyear, more driven. Chinee, John Morant and the Grizzlies got a win. And John Morant only scored 13 points. But John Morant did this. Let's look at John Morant after a switch. Aaron Baines is on him. And Yaga! Shanae, I know you've seen this. What do you think of this impressive feat of athleticism from Mr. Morant?
Why did I just pretend like I hadn't seen this before? Because I watched this about 20 times yesterday.
I know you have.
It was just straight up jaw-dropping.
Look at you with the puns.
You like what I did there?
Look at you with the puns.
See, you know what? That reminds me of Russell Westbrook, doesn't it? Sort of like just attacking the rim. Don't care who's in front of him. Mm-mm. Aaron Baines,
and also,
though,
like, the dunk was great, but that little, like, crossover, like, hesitation, little move he did to get past Baines was really impressive. And you brought up Aaron Baines, and here's the thing. Aaron Baines is a bit of a superstar dunk magnet. We just happen to have some of the greatest hits of Aaron Baines. You know what? He's doing his best. He's trying to challenge. He's trying to rim protect. But let's just check out. Sometimes it doesn't go great. Let's take a look at Mr. Baines just getting yammed on by some of the best to ever do it. First up, Joel Embiid all over Aaron Baines.
See, that one's like you really caught a body. Like there was contact.
Yes. He's trying to take a charge in the restricted area, too. It's like, come on, Aaron Baines. You know the rules. Just get out of the way.
Step out to the side.
And then we have this one, the Greek Freak. Now, this, he's really trying to block this one. I don't know what his idea was.
But, like, the block was, you came at him sideways. You were sitting sideways. No.
Sitting sideways. Good point. I like how he just straight up ran right back on offense like it didn't even happen. And then finally, Blake's kind of done it to everybody in his career, but this is early in Baines' career when he was with the Spurs. What do you think of this one?
That one's okay. Like, Blake Griffin did that to a lot of people, but the thing is, Blake Griffin makes it hurt because he holds onto that rim for dear life and sort of starts going all George of the Jungle on it.
Exactly. Well, the best team in the East, the Milwaukee Bucks, played the Pelicans, and they made light work of the Pelicans, and they did so without Giannis. Bledsoe, 29. Middleton, 24. It was really interesting to see this performance because I thought the Pelicans would put up more of a fight without Giannis. What did the role players stepping up in this game tell you about their team?
Jeez, man. From top to bottom, from number two, Chris Middleton is just a silent assassin for them. He's just a very unbothered, rising-ish star, right? First-time All-Star last year. And then if you go past 3 to 12, 3 to 15, everyone's capable of knocking down a shot. And it's even sometimes they don't shoot the ball well, but the threat of their shooters not only allows them to work and have great spacing and pace, you know, when Giannis is on the floor, but when he's off, like everyone knew that they had to knock down shots and be aggressive. There's so many players on that roster. I mean, Bledsoe, we talked about Middleton, even Korver's out there, Matthews, like they have George Hill, like they have a lot of guys with good experience. And they understand the sense of urgency. Like, Giannis is a guy that they want to keep in Milwaukee. They want to keep him happy, and they want to create a championship culture around him. So they play every game like it matters, because truly it does. Like, their win this year, like, they must win. They've had the best record in the NBA before, right? Like, so they're trying to set themselves up for where it matters most in the playoffs. But this team just looks like a well-oiled machine.
It really does. And one big shout to Coach Bud. Ever since Coach Bud showed up in Milwaukee, like, things have been going really well for them. The Knicks did something amazing last night.
They
had a lead against the Warriors.
You're so petty. Don't even do this.
But they did everything they
could. Can I walk out of here?
They did everything they could to lose this game.
I'm done with you.
They did everything they could to lose this game. They ended up not losing it in regulation. They went to overtime, and then they won. They won against the Warriors.
Quit being petty, LaBelle, Jacoby. I'm done with you, bro.
Marcus Morris Sr., you got to say senior nowadays, had 36 points, close to his career high. What should this trash dumpster fire of a franchise do now?
Okay, now you're speaking my language. You're coming back to reality, right?
Okay.
I expected this team to win. I mean, if you think about it, Marcus Morris Sr., Julius Randle even, RJ Barrett, those are legit players. They're playing against a D'Lo who still showed out. 32, and I love D'Lo's mindset, and then also Draymond Green, who gave you double digits, but like the Knicks are expected to win in that scenario. And the fact that we are so comfortable saying, oh, y'all, they still won, like, it's, you're right, dumpster fire. But I sort of like D'Lo's mentality, because D'Lo knows, all right, this is probably a hot mess right now for my team with injuries and stuff, but I'm gonna get my nice little 30 piece points and let y'all know it's not the Brooklyn system. I'm a good player. So either you keep me or you put me somewhere better, but I'm going to show you I'm still out here finessing. So
and
shout
if
out
you're
to
the Warriors,
Zero.
You don't mind. If you're the Warriors, you don't mind because while he's playing well, he's also elevating his trade value if they don't want to keep him.
Precisely.
Moving on, it's time for some more very important news that matters. I have an important fast food update for you. In select Kentucky Fried Chicken restaurants, you can purchase an innovative food item they have. They're testing fries that are seasoned with their 11 secret herbs and spices. Sounds very interesting to me. Are you here for seasoned KFC fries?
So the fact that the fries haven't been seasoned, I'm going to cancel this whole thing. You're now putting seasoning on your fries? This is why I stick with Popeyes. I'm like Migos. You see Migos out there with their own Popeyes bag?
I did see that.
I go first to Popeyes. Okay, so
okay.
KFC is sometimes when I'm like trying to do a little bit better because there's less breading and stuff, but come on now, you're just...
Wait, time out. Hit the brakes, Reg. You go to KFC when you're being healthy. That's your healthy choice. They're your healthy option. They don't sell organic kale salads at KFC. You're still getting the same fast food trash. You look at a Popeyes and be like, oh, you know what? Janae's got to be healthy. Got the season coming up. Gonna go to KFC.
David Jacoby. Let me tell you something.
Yes, ma'am.
Sometimes they have like the rotisserie. I say rotisserie, it's rotisserie. I'm from Texas.
I've always said rotisserie.
I go there for like the non-fried. When I'm in the non-fried mood, I go to KFC. When I'm in the fried mood, I go to Popeyes. And I'll tell you something. After games, I can't. Are you crying? I think you said you never cry. I thought you said you were like Kawhi. You never cry.
The rotisserie really got me. It's a rotisserie. You immediately know what you did. On live national television, you know you said rotisserie is rotisserie.
That's what we say in Texas, so don't be mad. Don't shame me, bro. I can't even. I'm sorry.
You're the best. You're the best. I know you know this segment. It is time for Keep It Moving. If you would like to discuss a topic, you say hit the brakes. If not, me, you, and Meth Man jump in the minivan and keep it moving. Are you ready, Ms. Agwumike?
Oh, let's do it. What to do, baby? Let's go.
Roger Goodell said something interesting about Colin Kaepernick. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Because the interesting thing he said probably is the league narrative, which continues to be, we're continuing to move forward. We're going to keep it moving.
Let's keep it moving.
We keep it moving.
We have an interesting report/rumor about Tom Brady. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Let's hit the brakes.
Tom Curran, or Curran, of NBC Sports Boston said that he could see Tom Brady joining the Miami Dolphins in 2020. Can you see TB12 in a Dolphins uniform?
So for those who live on the East Coast, I've lived in Connecticut for 5 years, right? Most people from the East Coast migrate to Florida during the winter.
I like
right?
this. Especially the older people. Tom Brady is
Thank
getting
you.
Older. I like so, this.
This is... retirement destination area for Tom Brady. So this makes sense.
I like it. It does make sense, except for Tom Brady, for some reason, always loses games in the state of Florida. So I'm going to tell him to stay away from the state of Florida. Moving on, Baker Mayfield addressed the rumors that Odell Beckham Jr. doesn't want to play there. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
I think Baker Mayfield needs to just play the game and not talk about the game. So let's keep it moving.
Let's keep moving.
We keep it moving.
Carmelo Anthony wants the New York Knicks to do something for him. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Always with Melo. Isn't that what Jalen does? Melo.
Yes.
Let us hit the brakes.
We'll hit the brakes. Carmelo Anthony says he hopes the Knicks retire his number. Do you think that the number 7 Knicks jersey should be hanging in the rafters at Madison Square Garden?
Absolutely. They should definitely retire his number. Myself, you know, being part of this millennial, and then there's even generation, Z growing up, right, with Melo. We all know Melo Knicks, right?
Yep.
And he was that guy that a lot of people, when they were playing on the playground, they were yell Melo. You know what I mean? Like, I know we say Kobe, but we also yell Melo. And it's in that Knicks jersey where we get that visual in our head. So, yes, they should do this for sure for the culture.
Yes, I would say do it for a couple reasons. Number one, it wasn't Carmelo's fault that he was not successful in a Knicks uniform. It was more an organizational problem. And also, no one else is going to wear number 7 anyway, so just retire the thing. Why not?
Facts.
Also, another fact, Shanae Akwumike getting her number retired soon. Didn't think you thought you didn't think I would bring that up.
Wow, that was cute. Yes, my sister and I are getting our jerseys retired at Cypher High School back home in Cypress, Texas.
Maybe one day you and your sister will have your numbers retired in the Staples Center.
Ooh.
Send us video, too. We want to see it. We'll put it on the show. Send us video. We'll put it on
the
show.
You would never see me again.
Anthony Rendon is now very rich. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
You know what they say. Money talks. Hit that brakes. Hit the brakes.
We'll hit the brakes. Anthony Rendon is now on the Anaheim City of Los Angeles, whatever you're calling the Angels now. And he signed a 7-year, $245 million contract. What would you do if you just signed a contract worth $245 million?
First of all, you know, I love basketball and everyone's talking about the basketball contract. I'm like, shoot, my future sons are going to play baseball. My daughters, hopefully, you know, there's a league where they can do that too, right? But I would put my kids in baseball. I'm even wondering, who is his agent? Because this agent finessed a heck of a deal.
I'll tell you who his agent is. Scott Burrows. Let's take a look at what he has been up to recently. Just in the past, you know, week or so. 245 for Strasburg. 324 for Gerrit Cole. 245 for Rendon. That is $814 million. And that's just in the last, like, week and a half. Look at this man.
What? He is feeling himself. And you know, it's like they always get commission. I don't know how much it is. Is it like at the max end, it could be like 10%?
10. So I'll do the math for you because I know you're an athlete. 814, 10% of that is $81.4 million. This man might have earned himself.
Where did I go to school? I could have done that.
In the last couple of weeks. You went to Stanford. Yeah, as an athlete.
You know. Whatever.
Michigan was not, Jalen was not happy last night. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
Well, just because you mentioned Jalen, and this is Nay and Jay today, not Jay
and
Jay.
Great point.
We're going to keep it moving.
Should have never said his name. Should have never said his name.
We keep it moving.
You better hit the brakes on this. I've got something from Cardi B that you're going to want to see.
For sure. Hit the brakes.
Let's just take a look at what Cardi B wears to court. Because most people, when they go to court, they want to wear something understated, you know, sort of clean it up. She's got looks like sort of like a Big Bird costume, but it's black. And you got to see the train on the back of this thing. The hood alone is amazing. Look how long that train is. She wore that to court. What do you think of the outfit?
You know you rich when you let your clothes stay on the floor, especially in New York City.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you're rich.
Yes.
So it's like, I don't care that it's touching the... if you drop something, people are in a panic in New York picking it up. They're like, oh my gosh, God forbid it's food.
If I'm the judge and I see that outfit, I'm like, innocent. I don't know what you did. I don't even need to hear from anybody. Innocent, innocent, innocent. She's just innocent. Innocent. She's too fly. We can't put her behind bars.
I feel like it just snowed here on the East Coast, so I feel like we all need that coat, though.
And it's time for us to give the people what they want. Just okay is not okay, whether we're talking about your wireless network or your college football. So on Saturday morning, when you're looking for a game to watch, we know you're all in on your team, but after that, don't settle for just an okay matchup. Do what I do. Find the best game that's going on with the best teams and the best players, like choosing a wireless network. You want to go with America's best network, AT&T. Just like the best of the best in college football, you can never settle for just okay. Whether you're trying to coordinate who's painting their chest what letter, and where the tailgate's going down, or where your tickets are, just okay is not okay, especially when it comes to your wireless network. So get AT&T, America's best network, and stay on top of your game all season long. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Janae Agumake in for Jalen Rose. Thank you so much for doing the show, which you now call what?
Nay and Jay, baby. Wait,
Nay and Jay.
Before
Nay
we start Jay. This whole segment of Nay and Jay, you have to... I need to know, because I was sitting at the edge of my seat, you know, just thinking about this. How did you do in your championship game at the Rec League? You have to let the world know.
Couple things. Number one, I can hear the producer talking to you in your ear, so I know you set me up for this. Number two, you know exactly what happened because we just spoke about it off wax. You just want me to say on wax that we lost the championship game and I scored 1 point. That's what we're here for. I feel like just embarrassing me is kind of like what you're here for. And you know what?
Listen.
That's fine. That's fine.
Don't try
because
me.
There's things I can
Linda,
ask you. There's things
listen,
I can ask you live on
Linda.
National television, but I don't because I'm taking the high road because I'm classy. Are you ready to get back to the program?
Let me tell you something. You asked me how many WNBA championships I had. I had to come back at you with some kind of
okay.
heat.
Okay. Let's move on before you get yourself into some trouble. The Sixers play the Celtics tonight in a battle of what many think will be the battle of the two, the battle for the number two team in the Eastern Conference eventually. Now, both these teams have had high points and low points. What do you think about this game? What will this tell us?
I think this game will be a good measuring stick sort of how these teams have improved because I think this was the matchup we had on opening night where the Sixers beat the Celtics. Now, Kemba has really morphed. He's coming off a 44-point outing. He's yep. morphed into that perfect little fusion that Boston loves of like Isaiah Thomas, but taller, Kyrie scorer, but a little more unselfish, right? So Kemba is a good fit. Hopefully more of their guys are going to be healthy and available after their last, you know, sort of rough and tumble with the Pacers and the 76ers. I need them to play hard. I need them to play hard. I mean, Ben Simmons needs to be, you know, he needs to shoot them all. I'm saying it to Ben, but I need to say it to myself because I'm the type of person that also hesitates like you, David Jacoby, when it comes to perimeter shooting. But like Ben, shoot it. And I think we're going to see it because Brett Brown wants him to shoot one a game. And then Joel Embiid, I want that beast back. I sort of want that guy that trash talks all the time.
Embiid's going to have a big game. The Celtics are a really good team, but they're really good 1-3. So I predict a big game from Joel Embiid. Moving on, we have the Blazers against the Nuggets. I know you watch this show every day, so you know that I'm all the way out on Nikola Jokic. Over the last 10 games, stretch mark 5 is averaging 15.6, and he's only scored over 20 points in 2 of his last 9 games. What is happening with the stretch mark 5?
I really don't care. You know why? Because this is Melo's return to Denver.
Okay.
It's a new spin, right?
You have to think back of when Melo was on Denver. Like, Iverson was on his team at that point.
You're right. That's why his jersey should get retired in the Knicks because no one remembers that. But, like, you know, I feel like there'll be a nice little, you know, crowd support and applause from Melo. So that's all I'm caring about. Like, he's going back to a place that was pretty good to him. Think about Jokic later.
Yeah, we'll see. Jokic, you better score 20. You just gotta score 20. They'd run every possession through you. And finally, we have Lamar Jackson, the best show in football, up against the Jets in Baltimore. There's no chance that the Ravens lose this, but Lamar's a little banged up. Do you think he plays the whole game?
I don't think he plays the whole game. I think they're going to be very selective because he is, what's the word, or what are the letters, the three of them? MVP. MVP. Lamar. MVP. So I sort of like there were some shady things that happened last week. What did he do? He turned around, got them white gloves. He made sure you see his arms.
Yeah,
he was there with the subliminals. He was there with all the subliminals. So MVP, be smart with him.
He did not get enough attention for that sub when he wore the long white sleeves and the white gloves and still ran all over the Buffalo Bills. You know what? I hope that they get such a big lead that he doesn't play in the second half and I can go to sleep early because I'm washed and old and have too many kids. There are things that we can talk about on the podcast we can't talk about on the TV show. It is now time for the podcast exclusive. So, Chinee, a couple things I want to discuss. This one's not good news.
Oh.
I had a rec league championship game last night. We didn't lose. We got blown out. The team we were playing was bigger, they were younger, and they were just straight up better at basketball than we were. Yeah, we got blown out. You know how many points I had? I didn't have 0, but guess how many points I had?
2?
1 point.
How did you get 1 point?
There's only one way to get 1 point, Janae. There's only one way to get 1 point.
Unless you're counting different, but like, you had one free throw, were you 50%?
50% from the line, and also like the one I made didn't even feel good. Like it kind of rimmed around. It was so gross. Oh, I missed a layup. I had a finger roll.
I need video evidence of this.
Oh, it was so bad. It was so bad. And my team always goes out for beers afterwards, and we were just all sad sitting around the table not talking to each other. It was awful. Awful experience.
But good season
for my Flyers.
I'm mad though because you've made me invested. What do we do every time I see you in the Seaport Studios?
I know.
I say, how's wrestling going? And you give me an update. You got my hopes up when you said you hit double figures. You shot the ball a lot.
I really felt like
this was our year.
This is not our year. But new season starts next week, so whatever.
You're a stretch mark five.
New season. I am a stretch mark five for real. I've been working on it though. Doing my yoga, trying to get out there.
Oh, next year. Was that your first championship though? Like, was
no,
that your...
we've won. I've been doing this since like 2001. Like they're four seasons a year, and I've been doing it for what, 19 years. Like,
how many have
we've
you won?
We've won some championships. I was in LA for 6 years, so 13 times four. There's been 52 seasons, so we probably won like six or seven over the course of the 52 seasons.
We've won some.
How many championships you won in WNBA?
I've won two in high school.
That's not the question.
Plenty of Pac-12 championships, three Final Fours, and
I have one pending. I thought you had a really good chance this year until your team got really weird and everything fell apart at the end there. But we don't have to talk about that right now.
Hey,
we can talk about that off wax.
You're right. It is a little personal. It is a little close to the heart. But hey, we coming for everybody's next year. You got
like to
make the same
that.
Vow, okay?
I like to hear that.
You better be better next year. We're gonna get you shooting the ball.
Well, I don't want to shoot the ball, but I can't be better at? I can't be better at supporting you. We had a sign. We came out to Westchester. I brought my son. You are by far my son's favorite athlete
because he's never made a sign before.
This is my guy. Quincy's crushing it. Okay. So we're serious journalists, so the serious journalism part of us wouldn't allow us to put this on the actual television show, so it's a little bit too hot for TV podcast. There is a Twitter account that has been unearthed by some internet sleuths. And it is by a gentleman who says his name is Jonathan Daly, initials JD. It's @DailyJonathan. And these internet sleuths have just looked back on this person's tweets and found that they are very, very, very pro James Dolan. Like, if this person doesn't know James Dolan, there's not too many James Dolan fans out there. So if this is not James Dolan himself, or if this person does not know James Dolan, I would be surprised. Do you think, I know you haven't reviewed the evidence, do you think James Dolan or someone in the Dolan family or someone that's close to James Dolan has a burner Twitter account where they defend James Dolan?
I would not be surprised if it was his burner account. Just because when things, especially in game, in the arena at Madison Square Garden, aren't going his way, he sometimes gets a little sensitive. He's very protective.
No.
Right? We said the same type of words about a man with another burner account. What was his name? Kevin Durant, right? So,
not only that, the executive for the 76ers, who my friend Ben Dietrich unearthed as a burner account, Brian Colangelo. But we all thought it was Brian Colangelo defending Brian Colangelo, but it was actually his wife defending Brian Colangelo. Could be a similar situation here.
It could be someone very close to James Dolan. But hey, you know what? I'm not mad if you should have a burner account if you want. Like, they're free tweets. You know what
sure,
I mean?
Sure. Yeah. Doesn't cost you any money.
No.
So listen, if you know what, I would create a burner account to defend you, but no one has anything negative to say about you. You know,
people still do. You know what? That you saw that video with Katie Nolan, Sarah Spame, Rhea Taylor, Carrie Champion.
Of course, I saw it.
Nature being a woman talking about the NBA, a league I have not played in, I do not play in.
Yes.
Of course, I get negative comments all the time, but guess what? It's above me.
Keep it moving.
It's above me. Keep it moving.
It is above you. Well, Chinee, I want to thank you for coming on the show, coming in for Jalen Rose. You're always here when we need you. You didn't even get a lot of notice this time. I think we hit you up like 2 hours ago.
Y'all had me running through the snow out here in Bristol there was snow here.
Oh,
okay, should we talk about my shirt, wearing a SportsCenter shirt? That's how much notice you guys get. I literally did not have an outfit. Usually I come with something cute, you know, a little something different here.
Yeah, a little something for us.
Something casual, something fresh.
Listen.
I had nothing. I only packed the bare minimums because I have a long trip.
We're happy to have you, even in a SportsCenter shirt that you just got from the ESPN store, which is like, I don't know, 50 feet away from you. Clearly you just got it. Did they make you pay for it?
Yeah, of course I paid for it.
You got a discount? No discount.
We bought our monies here at Disney.
You know what? Hit me with your Venmo, and I will pay for that shirt.
I'm saving that for the kids.
We always say we give the people what they want, so we do have time for one voicemail. Reggie, what do you got?
Jalen, Jacoby, what up? This is Bill calling from Mac. Hey, got a soft move or boss move question. I'm coming to the rec basketball expert on this one. So soft move or boss move, getting thrown out of a rec league game. I played in a league where dudes just go at the official and, like, I mean, up and down, left and right, and I'm like, this is a rec league game. We're playing for, like, T-shirts or something if we win, and you're just going to sit here and go at the official? What you guys think? Soft move or boss move?
Okay. You go first because you're the rec league expert.
I'm the senior rec league analyst here at Jalen and Jacoby, and I'll just tell a story from last night. Is I saw who was reffing the game. And these are two bad refs. Like, one ref I didn't know, but he was just all about, he just really wanted to hear himself talk, explaining everything, talking back and forth to everybody. I went to go shoot during a timeout for the previous game, and he was like, get off the court. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, it's a timeout, dude. I don't know. I'm a grown man, 41. I know how to not, you know, get in the way of the game. So then I told the team, I was like, look guys, like, it's a championship game. Emotions run high, but let's not let the refs get in our head. Right? But I'm such a hypocrite. I went up for like a 50-foot jump shot, and this dude hits the bottom of my elbow and like lifts my elbow up while I'm shooting, literally right in front of the ref. And I shot a 15-foot jump shot like 6 feet in front of myself because I got completely fouled. And I started yelling at the ref. I lost my composure. And as I'm yelling at the ref, I think to myself, I'm like, you're doing exactly what you told everyone else not to do right now. So I'm not going to say it's a boss move. I'm just going to say I understand that no matter what you tell yourself, sometimes during a game, it gets emotional when ref makes a blatant and obvious mistake.
I'm sorry. I didn't even pay attention to anything you said because you said 50-foot jump shot?
15.
Oh, it's like a 15, 16. Oh, yeah, thank God.
Yeah. I don't even,
God.
I'm wide open from three, I don't even pull up. Like, I'm like a,
that's the problem. Not worth it.
I'm Ben Simmons with the three.
Yo, no, we need at least one every game. Okay. I'm going to Brett Brown you. You're
Here's
on the
what
Brett
I've
Brown.
Here's what yes. I've learned, Shanae.
Okay.
If you've got an open three, you've also got an open lane. Facts.
But then everyone, there's like a whole fence, you know, when you get to the lane because everyone's standing there waiting for you to shoot.
No, I think that's when you pull up from 15 and then you get fouled and then you complain to the referee. Just trust me.
And then you go one for two and have 1 point.
I know what I'm doing out there. Shanae, stop him for boss move getting thrown out of a rec league game.
I think it is, okay, it's a boss move because there, I mean, if it's a t-shirt, like if you didn't want the t-shirt, what the heck, right? I do this. You know, one of my side hustles is this podcast, Certified Buckets, with Nick Young and Sharona Shea Jackson.
Of course. And I know
Nick
about
Young,
Certified Buckets.
Nick Young habitually gets thrown out of rec league games. He got thrown out of the championship game. Listen, this is what happened to him. He literally was winning the championship game, and then the tide sort of turned. He got mad, got thrown out, and then they lost, right?
Of course.
So, like, they were winning the game. There was a scuffle, and then they said that, guess what, we're done playing, other team wins. I've never heard of a situation in the rec league where they gave the team with fewer points the win just because people got thrown out and got mad and got their feelings.
I thought they continued to play the game and they went on to come back and win. You're telling me that they just shut the whole thing down and said, y'all are such jerks that you don't deserve the championship. Oh, I love it. That's a boss move from there. Whoever made that decision, that's a boss move. Be like, I ain't messing with y'all. Definitely not giving y'all the championship. Yeah, shout out to that ref. Like, I'm sure that's not in the rule books. You know what I mean? Shout out to him.
Big fat.
Shout out to her or him. And shout out to Certified Buckets. Shout out to Chinea Agumake. You can follow her on social. You can see her on SportsCenter. And every once in a while, before we even give her one day's notice, she will show up on Jalen and Jacoby. We'll
Name
be back
day.
Tomorrow with another Jalen and Jacoby.